And because they thought that the country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he'd given the money. He had given the money. So those 10 pounds is money. That he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound, thy money, hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, you good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Notice how God is delegating authority here. Is faithfulness over money, he'll delegate authority over cities. Okay, I'll come back to that. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst sow. You did not sow. And he saith unto him, out of your own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that had 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which shall be given, for every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring them here and slay them before me. Now, Jesus is speaking in verse 11 a parable. He added and spake a parable. And they were supposing that the kingdom would come. Jesus was bringing the kingdom, right? But the kingdom that he was bringing is within us. That kingdom, when Jesus came, him and John the Baptist were preaching, repent, for the kingdom has come. Well, the kingdom had come, and that the king had showed up, right? And but the born again regeneration of the spirit of man had not yet taken place. The kingdom of God comes not with observation, right? But it's within us. The kingdom is within you and I, right? So that's 4D. We're living in this three-dimensional earth, this world. And right here, Jesus is giving a parable about that which is to come. In the millennial reign, those that have been faithful financially are coming back to rule over cities. Cities. That doesn't mean that God can't take a group of believers and turn a whole city around. He took one Jonah and turned a whole city around, but they fell back into what they had originally repented of. We're talking about taking over. We're in a capital city for a reason, right? We're strategically planted by the Lord. I'm going somewhere with this because a lot of things are being said about the rapture, about Jesus coming back. Now listen, Pastor Philip believes in the rapture. Pastor Philip was taken to heaven, and Jesus said, you go tell my people I'm coming soon. But, he said, from this moment on, I'm going to do everything in acceleration. He didn't say, I'm coming in an accelerated fashion. He said, I'm going to do everything in an accelerated fashion. And now, reading Scripture, we know prior to his return. That's what we looked at Sunday morning, remember? Do you all remember? Okay. So, right here we see then that God puts the power of this three-dimensional world in our hands to see what we'll do with it, which is money. He sees how we're going to conduct our lives with money. You see money killing folk out there. It was killing me back in the day before Jesus, right? And you know, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So God doesn't have a hold of you unless he has a hold of your money, right? Come on now, stay with me in this. I'm not preaching about money tonight. I want you to, well, I might, bless God. Hallelujah, right? But he is painting a parable that he gave money to his servants and then left. And he comes back to see what they did with it, right? To see, and he's looking at what they did with the finances, what they did with what he had entrusted them to. And you see that where the ones that had progressed and multiplied and had furthered what they had been entrusted with, now he said, you've been faithful over that. Now I'm going to give you rulership over this. It's a huge difference, right? But he says something. And again, I believe in the rapture. I believe Jesus is coming soon. Wrote a book on the rapture. If you don't believe, I believe it. Right? Read the elect lady. Jesus is coming soon. And if he is coming soon, then Acts 3, the restitution of all things, and Romans chapter 9, 28, expediting his word has to come to pass before he returns. Now, see, you won't hear very many preachers say that because they're scared to say it. Because it's not a revelation to them. Well, Jesus could come right now. All the prophecies are fulfilled. No, they ain't. They're not fulfilled. See, they're not fulfilled. And Acts chapter 3 lets us know that heaven must keep Jesus until the times of restitution of all things which were spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets since the world began. See? And a lot of Christians don't see the church victoriously. They don't see the church rising up and taking over and being in a glorious state as the bride of Christ prior to the twinkling of an eye, that moment. Right? And in this, it said something that needs to be, and this is where I'm going to center on tonight. Go back to verse number 13. He called his servants. He called his servants. Anybody know you've been called out of darkness? You've been called as lights in the world? You've been called to advance the kingdom? And he said unto them, occupy till I come. I'm going to talk to you tonight about occupying. Occupy till I come. That does not mean have your rapture conference and look at the world to try to figure out where the church is at. The world's supposed to be looking at us to figure out where they're at. See? And if you're not well-schooled in the Word of God, it's easy to let all the fear that the enemy has in the world bring you and I into this place of even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Now, last night, Mama Alberta and I were at the dinner table, supper table, depending on where you're from. And I get a call from Dad Tilton. And he said, Jerry Savelle moved to heaven. I said, whoa, hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to God, right? And I said, Dad, what's going on? He said, I just got it. And you know, this is before it came out on social media and all that. Two in the afternoon? Okay. And it was early. And it was a shock to the soul. And I guarantee you there are many pulpits this week that are going to be honoring that man for his contribution and submission to his call. I know how he impacted Mama Alberta in my life. Actually, he laid hands on us. And in a meeting, him and Jesse both laid hands on us in a particular meeting. And I don't know how many messages I've listened to his teaching. And interesting enough, I had put this message together prior to the phone call. It wasn't something that came after the phone call. I already had this noted out. And I thought to myself, well, isn't this interesting? And what it did to me, once my soul got wrapped around, you know, because you try to think, what happened? You know, how could this man of faith, you know, and all this, and blah, 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 yeah, yeah. And, you know, Kenneth Hagin cleared all the air when he said, you never know when one of us die what actually is going on. You don't know if Jesus went into that hotel room and sat down with Jerry and said, hey, son, here's what's going on. You don't know. You don't know if his body just shut down. You don't know what's going on. But what you don't want to do is set your faith based on somebody else's experience. Well, if he died like that, then my goodness, you know, what chance do I have to live long and live strong? Listen to me. If Brother Copeland was to move to heaven tonight, I'm going on with living long, living strong. You don't live your life based on what other people do. You live your life based on what that word does. And what Jesus said here was occupy till you come. Now, I guarantee you there are pulpits all around the world this week and beyond that are going to be honoring Dr. Savelle. He preached in 3,000 churches. 3,000 churches. I don't know that I've preached in 300 different places. And that's places, not churches. And he has ministries all over the world. And, you know, we had Carolyn Savelle here years ago for women's ministry. Mama Alberta and I picked her up from the airport, and, you know, and Mama Alberta got locked in the car. Praise the Lord. Didn't know how to unlock it, and the car was running there at the airport, and I'm trying to tell her to push the button right there, and she's just going wild because this is Carolyn Savelle. I'm like, yeah. But the impact, see, if you're not grounded in the Word, something like that can throw you off your faith. See, instead of, what did Jesus say? And I told Mama Alberta, after we prayed for the Savelles and that ministry and so on and so forth. I said, you know what this does to me? And she said, what? I said, it makes me more determined. Because, see, I already know this message. I already got this message that God placed in me about occupy till I come. See, this is where we get the word occupation. Occupation. See, what is your occupation? It's not that you are whatever your employment is. That's not your occupation. Your occupation is advancing the kingdom. Your occupation is advancing the kingdom. Thank God for what you maybe he may gifted you for to be working in a particular work center and so on and so forth. But your occupation is to advance the kingdom. Thank God that he can bless your 3D effort. You understand what I'm saying? With 4D results. But your occupation is to advance the kingdom. What, babe? Yeah, that's what Dad Tilton told me. He said when they, matter of fact, Pastor Jonathan last night sent me a YouTube where he preached the night before in the church where he was at. And, you know, he looks good and so on and so forth. And then when he was to preach that morning service, they went and to get him, and he didn't respond at the door, knocking on the door, and went and got the hotel manager. They opened it up, and what I'm told was he was all suited up, ready to go. Now, see, if you're going to leave, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But listen, no scandals, a pure ministry, right? And you can go back and listen to his messages, and they'll fire you up. If Satan can't steal your joy, he can't steal your goods. Come on, right? Having done all to stand, stand. Remember these messages, right? They're classics. Fourth man in the fire. Hallelujah. But let's get back to you and I, because we are to occupy. Now, see, this is where the escapists, the ones that are just, you know, they're just wringing their hands. You know, Israel's being attacked. Oh, my goodness. Israel's being surrounded. They've always been surrounded. They've been surrounded ever since they became a nation, right? I understand they've never been attacked like this before, but watch out. They're gonna bust that old devil in the mouth, right? But, and I understand things lining up for the end times in the natural. But there's those that have got an ear to hear are understanding we are lining up for the most glorious moment that this world has ever seen. And depend on who you are listening to. If you're listening to just current events and you're not listening to prophetic voices, you can get bummed out real quick. And then when something like that, where all of a sudden Dr. Savelle leaves the planet, you're like, whoa, what was that? Right? Are you following? And it can try to throw you off course. Jesus said, occupy till I come. Now we're gonna really dive down into this word occupy. Because this is the only place, if I recall right, that it's even used in the New Testament, in the Bible, is right here. Occupy. So he tells us in this parable what we are to be doing when he returns. Right? Follow this. Because you and I believe this. We won't be caught off guard. The Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. Yeah, but it also says that we are not children of darkness, that day would overtake us as a thief. We would know things that are happening based not on the world, but on the church. What is the church's condition? The glory of the latter house, right? eclipsing, those of you who heard that, eclipsing the former house, right? So let's go into this word occupy. Now, just the regular definition, occupy. Here we go. Occupy. Yeah. To engage the attention of, to take up a place in space, to fill an extent in time, to hold control of, to perform the functions of an office, to reside in as an owner. Now, if you just read that, you can kind of get like, okay, that's good. But I'm going to break that down from Webster's to Durber Dictionary. Hallelujah, right? Because there's six things here when it talks about occupy. Because when you hear the word occupy, okay, what all does occupy mean? See, and so this first thing is to engage the attention of, right? All right, let me give you Durber's translation. To have someone's interest. In other words, you and I should be having someone's interest. They ought to be looking at you. They ought to be examining you. They might even be trying to tempt you, pick on you, persecute you. See, to see if you're the real deal or not. Right? Or they can be someone that just are curious because they've heard you say some things. And folks, the Bible says they're supposed to come to us and ask us for the hope within us. Thank God for evangelism. But statistics prove evangelism doesn't bring the harvest in but like 15%. The other 85 is by meeting people. It's by association. It's by having someone's interest. See, somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. See, and they're checking you out. Because, first off, they want to know if you're the real deal. Because they might be looking, hoping you're not. Because your life is convicting them. Because they knew how you used to be or how you told them you used to be, and they're waiting for you to go back to it. Come on now, right? To have someone's interest. So people ought to be interested in you for some reason. In other words, somebody's talking about you somewhere. They're supposed to be talking about you. They're supposed to be bringing you up in conversation. Hallelujah. It may be bad. It may be good. Right? But they're talking about you. Why are they talking about you? You've got their interest. Right? Whether they're criticizing you or whether they're saying, hey, you know what? I'm watching them and my goodness, how did they get where they're at? Well, just think about when things are expedited in your life. How much interest you're going to get. I'm not talking about interest on your money. I'm talking about people who are interested in how you living like that. Come on now. We're talking about occupying. We're talking about people looking at you and saying, huh, he was raised from the dead 6 times. Look at him. Hallelujah. Devil can't stop that testimony now. You know, I didn't want to ever go through that, but I went through that. And here I am. I'm going to open my mouth about it. Hallelujah. Right? Hallelujah. Ain't too many people on this planet can say they've been raised from the dead 6 times. But your pastor has. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And I got news for you. You've been raised from the dead when you were dead in trespasses and sin. And ain't no telling how many times you should have been dead. But God, thanks for nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we're supposed to be interesting. In other words, they're talking about you when you ain't around. What are you doing, family? Lord, have mercy. Let me get over here. I got angels about me when I'm around family. So they're wondering. See, when you have some, when you're interested in something, you're checking it out. Are you following what I'm saying? A lot of social media out there is Google it. You know, you hear that term, Google it, right? What are you Googling? Something you're interested in. Something you're interested in, right? And now they got those algorithms that once you look up something, now all of a sudden you get all these advertisements, right? And you didn't look that up. All you did was this one thing, right? And all of a sudden, everybody's interested in what you were interested in, trying to sell you that or whatever it may be, right? So we're talking about occupy till he comes. So when Jesus does come, there ought to be a bunch of folk that are interested. They're not really interested in you. They're interested in how you live. And the reason they're interested in how you live, because they can't live that way. And how do you and I live? By faith. So they're interested in your faith. Now, they don't know that. They don't know that. See? And so, we're the light of the world. We're the salt, right? They're supposed to be looking at us and seeing something. So, did that help you understand that first part of Webster's? Yeah, that helped me. Number two, occupy, to take up a place in space, right? Simple form, to be in position. To be in position. In other words, to occupy, you're occupying a chair right now. You're in position to hear the Word of God. So there's a lot of people that are out of position in the body of Christ. Come on now. I remember when the Lord told me that the body of Christ is dislocated. And he used a shoulder analogy about that arm dislocated at the shoulder. And that arm, even though it's connected to the body, because it's not fitly joined like it's supposed to, it can't function. And just like, the boneyard where Ezekiel starts prophesying to the bones and they started joining like they were supposed to, and they stood up an exceeding great army. Remember that? That's why you and I have to be in position. We have to be where God says for us to be. I have to be in Frankfurt. I have to be here. I can't be somewhere else because opportunity looks like it would be the thing to do. Are you following this? I have to be where I have been, watch this, assigned. Are you following this? To be in position. This is part of occupying, right? To be in the right position. That's why you hear me say quite often, you're in the right place at the right time with the right people with the right God. Isn't that comforting to know you are directly in position of where you're supposed to be? That's reassuring to me. See, you really know that by going out and being out somewheres and then coming back home. That's when you really know. Even though you know you may, for instance, you went to a believers convention or you went to a conference over here, a conference over there, and you enjoyed it. The word was rich. It was just great. Glad you were there and gleaned a whole lot. But there's no place like coming home. There's no place like getting in where you are from, right? Why? Because that's where you're supposed to occupy. And God is building a body of believers for an assignment, a vision to complete it, right? And so when Jesus says, occupy till I come, get in the position. You know how many people are out of position? You know how many people just go wherever they want to go? You know, wherever, you know, when you're in the position that God wants you in, the preacher man will make you mad and he'll make you glad. If I haven't made you mad at least 100 times, right? If I haven't made you mad, then I'm sugarcoating everything. I'm just giving you stuff that'll tickle your ears. But if I say some things that make you mad, and it's really not me saying it, it's what the Word says, but you get mad at me because I said it, I wish he wouldn't have said that, and he looked right at me when he said it. Right? Right? But God wants you to make those adjustments so that the position that he has you in, your destiny can flourish. Because if you're not in position, it will affect what you're called to do. Number three of that definition, to fill an extent in time. To fill an extent in time. That is to exercise your seasons. To exercise your seasons. In other words, whatever season you are in, you're not doing anything. You're in motion. You are exercising your season. For instance, somebody can be in a dry season. Somebody can be on their mountaintop. They just got their harvest, right? Now, I do believe that there's a corporate manifestation that you and all of us are, that is upon us, right? But that it's going to be a different level according to your seed and according to your faith. Are you following this? What might be your harvest of, let's say, $10,000, for someone else, it may be $500,000. But it all came at the same time, and everybody's happy because that was what was necessary at that season, right? So you and I are to exercise whatever season we're in. Now, that ain't always easy. That ain't always easy. To everything there is a season, a time and a purpose under the heaven. And you know, you walk on this planet, you're going to have, from time to time, a situation that looks like it just got thrown in your face. And there you are, and it tries to shake you off your faith. It tries to shake you off what you believe. Because everything in the natural looks like it just went totally against everything you were believing God for. Didn't get no amen. I got a couple uh-huhs. Have you ever been in great expectation and an evil tiding came? Okay. Hallelujah. Well, you still got to exercise your faith. You still, well, no matter what season you're in, right? It's easy to praise the Lord when everything's all right. It's easy to praise the Lord when ain't no pain in your body. It's easy to praise the Lord when your cup running over. It's easy to praise the Lord when your vehicle's running right. It's easy to praise the Lord when your housing is like it needs to be. You're not all scrunched up or whatever. You fill in the blank. See? So, Jesus is saying, this is what you're supposed to be doing, you and I, till he comes. Right? We're not supposed to be laying down building some kind of hidden ground bunker, storing up 10 years worth of food, 7 years going through the tribulation, in case you missed a boat. Whatever, right? If you want, store up food, store it up. But what you gonna do when the Bible says, give to your neighbor? You better have enough for that whole hood you living in. If you, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Number four, occupy, to hold control of, the Durber translation, to dominate your responsibilities. To dominate your responsibilities, to hold control of. We ain't supposed to let everything go, right? So, what has God made you responsible over? You don't throw it to the side because Jesus is coming any moment. You don't go, and form Rapture City. And everyone goes and into the Rapture compound because Jesus is coming soon. No, we're to occupy. We're to dominate, control what God has put in our in what we're supposed to be responsible for. We don't just drop the ball. Is anybody listening? And Dr. Savelle, I'm so thankful that he just kept on going. I mean, he just kept on, just bless God, moving forward, right? Sure, there's questions that people want answers for and blah, 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 and we might have them, might not have them. Right? But one thing's for sure, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He's up there high-fiving his spiritual father, Oral Roberts. He's with Kenneth Hagin, T.L. Osborne, Charles Capps, Fred Price, the whole gang up there. Hallelujah! They're having a big faith party up there. Not to mention Jesus. Hallelujah. Mama Alberta, she told me again, when that thing happened with me, she told Jesus, stay out of it. She went straight to the Father and said, Jesus, you stay out of this, because she knows how anyone seeing Jesus would have a tendency to stay. And I told her today, I said, you could at least let me walk through heaven. If I'm going to die and be raised up six times, let me walk through heaven. Why didn't you tell Jesus, stay out of it? Just let him walk. Let him see a little bit. Can't tell you how many people said, what'd you see? Nothing. I mean, my goodness. Hallelujah. Let me see something. Hallelujah. We are to dominate, not to be dominated over. Squeaky ain't sleeping. He had all them vetoes overturned, overridden. we have now the strongest law in America against all that trans stuff. Kentucky leading the way. Squeaky vetoed it. He can't sleep because they just overrode that thing just as soon as he signed it. There's something like 15 or 20 vetoes that they overrode. I told you, he's powerless. He's powerless, right? Thank God, right, for what's happening here in Kentucky. Amen. All right. To dominate our responsibilities. This is occupying. So you just don't let things go. You just don't, matter of fact, I know a minister that he told me, he said, I just told my wife go out and buy all the furniture she wanted to and just put it on credit because we're going to be out of here anyhow. I said, do what? Yeah, we're getting ready to be caught out here, and before we have to pay anything on it. And you know what? She went out and did. Yeah, now she's off the planet. Right? Now, see, folks, don't get me wrong. Jesus is coming soon. So this ought to let you know how fast things have to happen in the time we're living in. See? And you and I are supposed to be in control, dominating the responsibilities that God has given us. Not just saying, well, Jesus is coming, and, you know, let's just all sing and just sing and just sing and just sing. No. No, there's something we're supposed to be doing. Are you listening? That was number four. Number five, to perform. Number five, to perform the functions of an office. Durbar Dictionary, to do what you're called to do. Just do what you're called to do, right? Do what you're called to do. In other words, don't be doing what you're called to do with this thinking, well, any moment he's going to come anyways. No, do what he called you to do. So when he does come, right, you were doing it in full throttle. You were doing it wide open. Your foot on the gas pedal all the way down, right? Right? So this is why it's so important to locate the position you're supposed to be in, find out what you're called to do, right, and perform it. That, again, Dr. Savelle, he wasn't on a fishing boat. Not that he couldn't have moved to heaven on a fishing boat, right? But he was, in fact, in a fishing boat, fishing in another way. Are you following what I'm saying? But he was doing what he was called to do. I've heard it said from preachers, I'd like to go to heaven behind the pulpit, preaching my last sermon. Preach it and just be caught up, right? Why? They understand what they're called to do. Well, most of you ain't never going to be behind the pulpit for any amount of time, right? But what you're called to is across the board. What has God called you to do? To prayer? To witness? To have a business? To have this? To have that? To do this? To do that? Whatever you find out what you're to do, do it with all your might. You don't slack up just because we're living in the last days. If anything, we ought to be working even harder knowing it's the last days. We're privileged to be knowing what we know. Can you imagine if you didn't have that book and be looking at fake news all the time? This is how people, they're governing their lives, by just bringing this kind of stupid information in. No wonder they're walking around in a high level of stupidity. I mean, they're graduating with stupid degrees and think in their stupidity that they're smart. And they think you are stupid. Whoa, my goodness. We got a job to do. We got a job to do. So when this thing came down, I looked at Mom Alberta. I said, I'm more determined than ever. More determined than ever. Hallelujah. Why? The whole planet shifted. When a general like that goes to heaven, the whole planet shifts. Now, whether you understood it or even felt it is another thing. But I did. And what happens is everything moves. We don't lose. Everything is repositioned. Somebody going to carry that mantle. Somebody, and all those ministries are going to continue. You understand what I'm saying? We're talking about occupying till he comes. What drives Pastor Philip? What drives me? Purpose. Purpose. I know too much. I ain't talking about I know too much like I'm this Bible expert. I'm talking about I know too much about what God wants done. See? And to occupy till he comes. That gets somehow swept under the rug in rapture. And listen, I get it. I get it. Again, go to the rapture book or the elect lady. You'll see, I'll take scripture and I'll paint it right how close we are. But it's not. Jesus ain't coming tonight. How many times you heard me say that? Right? He ain't coming tonight. Well, yeah, you can say that, and it ain't going to happen because, you know, what's the chance? Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, there's people that are out there, preachers, that are saying he could come tonight. No, he can't. There has to be scripture fulfillment, and it includes you and I. So while that fulfillment is being released from heaven, there's something you and I are supposed to be doing while this short period of time is we're passing through. And it's not, like I said Sunday, getting up on the roof, look up, shouting, Jesus, come. He's going to come. He's going to come. Right? But how's he going to find you? Without oil? Like the five foolish virgins? Or are you going to be ready? Ready. Occupying. Occupying. Right? Hallelujah. I don't want Jesus to come. As much as I love Jesus, I don't want him to come. Not for this. No, 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 no. The most glorious show on earth is about to take place. And you and I get to be involved in it. Come on now. And all those little small fires, they're really small fires. All those small fires that he tries to throw at you and I, tries to get us all into this place. Well, yeah, come, Jesus. Praise the Lord. No, look. We're not looking to get bailed out. We're looking to hear him say, hey, you were faithful. You took what I gave you And you did something with it. You improved what I had released into your life. Occupy till I come. Is this boring y'all tonight? Okay. The last one, number six. To reside in as an owner. Derber's translation. To abide as possessors. To abide as possessors. You and I are supposed to be possessing the land. Whether that's real estate or whether that's, you can fill in the blank right there. To abide as possessors. Remember Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth, right? You and I are supposed to be possessing. We are supposed to be going forward. We are supposed to be achieving things. Come on now. We are supposed to be operating in a possessed state of mind. See? And however God directs us to get there, that's left up to the individuals and your seed and faith, right? And your call. But you and I are not to be overridden. We're to be possessing. We're to be possessing the schools. We're supposed to be possessing the education system. We're supposed to be possessing the seven mountains. We're supposed to be taking over. Are you following what I'm saying? And the church has let all that go, and all we've done is build church buildings. And once the church building was built, then we became our own little separate little thing waiting for Jesus to come. No. This is the World Distribution Center. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, for teaching purposes, I ain't going to keep you long tonight. For teaching purposes, then again, I might just do it in spite. I'm just kidding. For teaching purposes, let me give you occupy now in the Derber Dictionary with those six things. Occupy. To have someone's interest, to be in position, to exercise your seasons, to dominate your responsibilities, to do what you are called to do, to abide as possessors. Let's read that together. Ready? Read. One more time. Now, one thing from the Derber Dictionary to the Webster Dictionary, that's the same. And that's how all six of them start. Two. Two. To do this, to do that, right? Now let me leave you with this tonight, and we'll take up the tithes and offering. Let me leave you with this. For teaching purposes, don't say Pastor Phillips adding to the scripture. I'm doing this to expound. We're going to take that verse, Luke 19:13. Where he called his servants and said unto them, occupy till I come. And we're going to insert the Derber translation. Got it? Number one. He said unto them, have someone's interest till I come. The next one. He said unto them, be in position till I come. The next one. He said unto them, exercise your seasons till I come. The next one, he said unto them, dominate your responsibilities till I come. The next one, he said unto them, do what you are called to do till I come. And the last one, he said unto them, abide as possessors till I come. Folks, we are supposed to be occupying. We are not supposed to be just, you know, walking around, you know, with scaring everybody, you know, Jesus is coming soon, Jesus is coming soon. You go on internet and just punch in Jesus coming soon or the rapture, look out. Again, the rapture is a reality. It is going to happen. But if we are just so rapture-minded that we don't understand that Jesus said, until, you could say it this way, until I come and rapture you, occupy. Occupy. Don't just drop everything and just start looking up. Do what you have been gifted and graced to do. See, that's why I don't see retirement. You know, I know pastors that retire. They reach 65, and you know the church, you know, they give them a retirement package, and you know they'll come every now and then on church anniversary and say something, or sit in the front row and amen and so on. What? Folks, I'm telling you what. You stuck with me. You know, hallelujah. I'm going to be saying something to you that's going to make you mad and glad, right? Until I'm off this planet, one way or the other, right? And I plan on 105. That's my destination. Jesus wants me here longer, okay. Right? Hallelujah. Occupy till Jesus comes. It's a powerful, powerful truth. No matter what you've gone through, no matter what you're facing, the obstacles the enemy will try to throw in your life to throw you off course, your destiny remains the same. Your gifts and callings remain the same. Oh, you might have taken a hit. You might have taken and experienced a setback. God still has a plan. God still has, you know, we're talking, me and Mom Alberta, and I was reminded of how sorry I was, you know, that at 5 years old when I ran to that church altar in that country church and met Jesus. I mean, it was glorious. That whole church lit up when I was running down through there and slid to the altar and met Jesus. And I didn't know that was his voice talking to me all those years. Wild things were happening as a young boy that I didn't even know it was God. And I remember one time I had a dime, and that dime was going to get me a Fanta grape pop out of the pop machine that you had to open up that little door and pull it out, and you hear the next one fall down. Some of y'all remember that. And I got that dime. I had that thing in my pocket. And I pulled that dime out, and we're at the gas station. And it fell out of my pocket. And it started rolling. And it's rolling straight to the drain. And the drain had, it wasn't a drain that had little holes in it. It had the rack in it, right? You understand what I'm talking about? And that dime, I looked at that, and my buddy was right there. He looked at that, and it rolled all the way across that thing to the other side. He looked at me. I looked at him. I said, "You see that?" He said, "Yeah," and there was other guys there. We didn't say nothing. I picked up and got my grape. Right? Well, that guy's saved now. Me and him both are saved. But things like that would start happening. I'd be walking home from school, and I'd be walking on the sidewalk, and there'd be cracks in the sidewalk, and I'd go 1, 2, 3, and I'd skip one. And inside, and I'd go half a block, maybe a block down, and I couldn't stand it. I'd have to go back and hit that one, and then go. Happened all the time. All the time. And it wasn't until I was born again and started understanding the voice of God when the Lord was showing me that was me way back then. You walked in that bar that night where that ruckus was going to happen, and you looked at your buddy and said, "We got to get out of here." And he looked at you and said, "We just got here. We got to go." And you got out of there right when, before everything went crazy in there. How did I know that? How did I know that? One night at a party, the guys that made up their mind they're going to kill me. And you got to understand what I was involved in. And we're way out in the country. And I'm just totally blitzed. And I'm needing a ride home from this party. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. And they said, "We'll give you a ride." And I don't know it, but a buddy of mine inside heard them saying, because I'd already got into it with a couple of their brothers. He said, he heard him talking, "We'll get him in, and we're going to kill him tonight. I'm going to get in that car." And Mickey comes out, says, "Philip, come here, man." "So what do you want?" "Come here. I want to talk to you." So I was getting ready to get in the car. And Mickey comes and says, "Don't go. Stay here. Spend the night here. We'll get you home tomorrow. They won't kill you. This is their night." And see, they all knew that I'd gotten into it. How's this God protect? Howard Rumberg praying somewhere. Right? Right? But I was telling Mama Alberta, I was telling her, I said, I was so sorry that when I got to be about 14, 15, veering off course, chasing girls and drugs and alcohol and sin, when I surrendered my life, 16 July 1988, I was so sorry because that was the Jesus that I'd met in that country church. The Methodist Jesus wasn't it. Every time I'd run to the altar during those camp meetings trying to change, that Methodist Jesus wasn't doing it. When I say Methodist Jesus, I'm just talking about religion, right? And I remember crying out to God at the altar, crying, saying, "Lord, I'm so sorry that I've wasted all these years." And he said this to me, and I was just sharing this again with Mama Alberta. He said, "Philip," he said, "you are further along now than if you had never walked away from me." I said, "What?" He said, "I've taken what the enemy meant for evil, and I've accelerated you beyond forever messing with you. So when the devil tries to mess with you, he tries to mess with you with some kind of sin, some kind of disruption, the Lord will take you further than you would have been." Somebody ought to get happy right there. He knows how to make up for lost time. I'll restore the years that the locust and the caterpillar and the palmer worm stole from you, right? Hallelujah. So I'm for, that doesn't mean you go out and sin to get further ahead. Ha. See? Hallelujah. If you need to give an envelope tonight, hold your hand up. The ushers will wait on you. Praise the Lord.